Good afternoon. I'm Jamila Erickson here with today's Midday Interview. I have two very interesting guests for you today, kind of off the beaten path from the usual folks I talk to. Reed Stowe is here, who set the world record for consecutive days at sea without seeing land. With him is Sania Ahmad, who had part of that journey with him. They also have their son Darshan here, and he's playing happily in the hallway right now. You might hear him come in. We'll see how that goes. I want to welcome both of you first. Thank you so much for coming today.
That's our pleasure.
Now, how did this all begin? When did you fall in love with the ocean and with sailing?
Well, our family built a vacation cottage on the waterway behind Ocean Isle Beach right after Hurricane Hazel, like around 1954. So as a child, I grew up around my dad and granddads and aunts and uncles building this house and building little boats and going out on the water. And that was my favorite thing to do all my life, was to come down to the coast here and play in boats. So I've been around boats all my life and always loved boats. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of going to sea has always been a dream of mine all my life.
Tell us a bit about the building of your boat, Anne. Who built it and when? And then describe her for us so we can really picture her in our minds.
Okay. Well, as a teenager, I sailed the South Pacific. And when I came home from that voyage, after meeting some of the world's greatest single-handed sailors who were sailing small boats with no motors, no radios, no electronics, I built my first boat, which was a tiny little catamaran, and sailed that boat across the North Atlantic to Europe, Africa, southern Brazil, a year up the Amazon River,
wow,
the Caribbean, and then back home again. And when I arrived back, I had a plan for the boat I called the ultimate long-distance heavy weather sailboat. It was to be a traditional-styled, old-fashioned gaff rig schooner, because that's the cheapest kind of boat to build. So we went to our neighbor's farm and chopped down our trees and built the schooner at our family vacation cottage on the inland waterway, and launched her and immediately sailed off for adventures around the world.
Wow. When did you get the idea to sail for 1,000 days without seeing land, without being resupplied by anyone?
In 1986, I was in Auckland, New Zealand, preparing for an Antarctic expedition. And I said, what can I do next? Not as a challenge, but so that I could evolve. And I said, I'll do the longest nonstop sea voyage in history without stopping or receiving supplies. Now, the man who had the biggest influence over me, who I met, was Bernard Motissier, first man to sail around the world without stopping. And he sailed something like 306 days on that voyage, which was the longest nonstop sea voyage in history. And I said, okay, I'll go three times as long as him. And the numbers spun in my head and stopped on one and three zeros. So I said, I'll go 1,000 days nonstop at sea. So I went on to have a very successful Antarctic expedition. But it was from 1986 until April the 21st, 2007. It took me 21 years before I was able to set off on the 1,000-day sea voyage. During those 21 years, to everyone I met, I said, this is what I'm doing, this is how I'm going to do it, and I need help to do it. And it was difficult for people to understand what I thought I was going to do, and I never got real corporate support because they were afraid to back me because they didn't think I could do it, they didn't understand it, and they were afraid something would happen to me. And it took me that many years before I was able to set off.
And you had that 21 years of not only raising money and getting ready for the voyage in your mind and in terms of equipment, but also just sailing all that time. So you became more and more a master sailor, so you could set off and know that you would plan to come back.
Yes.
Now, Sania, when did you become involved in this adventure? When did you meet Reed, and how did you become part of the 1,000-day journey?
Well, about 3 years before we set off on the 1,000 days, I was a student in Manhattan, New York, studying photography. And I walked onto the docks of New York. One of those docks was where Reed's boat was docked. And I said, can I take some pictures of your boat? And he said, sure. And that was the beginning of it. The next week I came back and I had prints in my hand and I said, here are the prints. And he said, you want to come sailing with us? And he was going out for a 2-hour run on the Hudson River. And I said, sure. And that was the first time I'd ever stepped foot on a sailboat. I had no ocean-going experience before I set out on the 1,000-day voyage.
Mm. You did study, though, before you decided you should know something about sailing before you took off into the middle of the ocean.
After getting my degree in art photography, I then went on to study maritime technology for about a year, where I learned things like boat safety, navigation, seamanship, very simple boat repair, and just about boats in general. But even at that time, I did not think that I was going on the 1,000-day voyage. It was somewhere in the midst of those studies where I was thinking, well, what should I do next with this? I want to be on the water, but I'm not sure where on the water I should be. Reed was getting ready to go for his 1,000 days, saying, I'm leaving in 2 months. But, of course, he'd been saying that for 3 years. And still, he had not found anyone else who would like to go with him. And I thought, well, you know, that would be very cool if I went. And as he was not looking for someone who necessarily had seagoing experience, when he heard that I wanted to go, he thought about it for a while and he said, okay.
Oh my goodness. If you're just joining us, you're hearing Sonia Ahmad, and she's here with Reed Stowe, and they have a wonderful son together, Darshan, who's here at WHQR, and they're telling us about a 1,000-day, actually more than a 1,000-day journey on the ocean that set a world record for consecutive days at sea without seeing land. Let's talk a little bit about how you began the journey together on the Anne, and then at a certain point, Sonia had to be airlifted off the boat and taken away, and we'll talk about that, and then we'll talk about the journey itself. So you began together, and what happened?
Well, after about 2 weeks out at sea, we were involved in a collision with a freighter, which was devastating for the boat because it changed the way we could sail her, and well, to make a long story short, we decided not to go back to land to fix her, but instead stay at sea. And it took about a month to get her into proper sailing shape again, although she was not the same as before. But still, we continued on. And life was, for the most part, good. We were getting used to being at sea and catching fish and having calms and storms both. And then we were around South Africa. When I began to get very nauseous, and I thought it was because that we were in rougher waters, you know, approaching the roaring 40s, and we were going faster. But actually, it turned out I was experiencing morning sickness. And I realized I had to get off the boat. I was not about to have a baby on the boat in the middle of nowhere. And so the next nearest bit of land was Australia, and a boat came out to meet us at sea, and I was transferred to that boat, and I went back to shore, flew back to New York, and Reed then continued onwards.
Right. So how long was the actual journey? It was more than 1,000 days by the time you finished, yes?
1,152 days consecutive sailing at sea. So after Sonia left, I went on to sail 864 days by myself. So over 2 years, I never saw another human or talked to another human. And, of course, I knew that Sonia was back in the States with her family. All was well. And she had a son. And we could communicate by email. And so we stayed in close touch. And we were already in a timeless state. And we had prepared ourselves for if anything happened. So we both knew that we wanted to succeed with our mission. And that was the important thing. So I was clear in my mind about what I was doing. And so was she. And the next 2 years that I spent sailing at sea was a very incredible, amazing, beautiful, very difficult, very challenging physically, but it was a very beautiful, amazing experience.
I imagine. And then you came home to meet your son, about 2 years old at
that
point?
He was
almost two years old.
When he met his father for the first time.
We only have about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left, and there's so much I want to ask you. But if you can just take this time and kind of give us a picture of a moment at sea that's very, very vivid in your memory so we can perhaps feel that with you. I know there's a million of them, but
okay. Well, the most to say that it wasn't a moment. It was that time expanded and there were no moments and there were no days and I didn't keep track of days and I did a great job about not keeping track of where I was. As long as I was way out in the ocean, I didn't think about that. Mm. What sustained me out there was my connection to the ocean, which is my connection to the universe and to God in all forms, that I stopped thinking about the land and I had a very clear mind. And I just prayed and said, Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for this experience to be out here at sea. And I prayed like that night and day, and I fell asleep like that, and I woke up like that, and I tuned into the ocean, and that was what gave me the strength to do the voyage. And I only came back for my wife and son. Of course, I loved my mom and dad, who were getting older, but I knew they could wait for me. I just didn't want to leave my wife and son waiting too long. I could have stayed out for another year. I had everything I needed to be out there and stay out there and keep going. But I had a lot of incredible experience. One exact experience was the day that I beat the longest sea voyage in history, which was 658 days at sea. Was done by an Australian man, John Sanders. The day that I passed that record, I was rounding Cape Horn by myself, and I got caught by a rogue wave, and it turned the boat upside down, wow. Rolled her over, threw me against the wall, knocked me out. The boat came up, water squirted in through the locked hatch and woke me up, and the one sail that was guiding the boat was in shreds, and I had to get that under control. I got the whole boat under control, got another storm sail up, and kept going. But how in the world did the ocean give me that little message the day that I beat the longest sea voyage in history? But I had a lot of other incredible, magical experiences like that expect on a voyage
yes,
like that.
Yes, it sounds like you became a part of the ocean. You were just at one with that great oneness, that great ocean soul that is so much a part of what our planet is about. Reed Stowe and Sonia Ahmad, my guest today for the midday interview. If you'd like to see photographs of the Anne and see what these two wonderful people look like and their son, Darshan, you can go to www.1000days.net and you'll find all kinds of interesting things there. I would love to just hang out with you guys all afternoon, but I got to get back to the music. Thank you so much for sharing a part of your adventure with us.
Okay.
Thank you for having us.
All right.
This is WHQR.